The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, just days after hosting Donald Trump in Beijing, China's leader Xi Jinping is now rolling out the red carpet for Russia's Vladimir Putin. China's close ties with Russia remain a major concern for the West. Let's get more now with Richard Spencer, who is China correspondent at The Times. Good morning, Richard. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
So what message is the Chinese leadership sending by hosting Donald Trump and then Vladimir Putin within 4 days of each other? Is the timing, firstly, strategic?
The timing is, it's certainly very interesting. The trip was actually announced, amazingly, while Trump was still in the air on the way back from Beijing to America. I mean, it was very immediate. Putin's spokesman says, "Oh, it was long planned, and it's a total coincidence." But I don't think anyone's really buying that. As you say, the alliance between Moscow and Beijing, which is the relationship between those two countries has been very up and down over the last sort of 100 years or so. But it seems to be very strong at the moment, and I think you could almost say this is President Xi sort of debriefing Putin on the Trump visit, you know, saying in private what he and Trump said to each other also in private, and discussing what it means for the state of the world. I think China is also, to go back to your main question, is now trying to present itself as like the indisputable mediator, the middleman in terms of the great power relationships. The country that can speak to both sides of the America-Russia divide, the West-East divide, the country that everyone has to go to and take seriously.
So rather than trying to prove to the Americans that it has a really strong alliance with the Russians, what it's trying to project is that they are the key power in the world right now.
I think that's right. Yes, I don't, you know, the it does, it's its positioning is quite careful. You know, it would be very easy for China to say, you know, hey, we are now almost equal to America in terms of economic and military might. We're certainly their only, we're certainly the only real competitor. If you look at the facts and figures on the balance sheets of both, you know, both economic and military power, we're the only power that comes anywhere close to America. So now that, you know, there's the two of us now, we should carve up the world between us. But it's very careful not to do that. And I think the reason for that is historic. You know, it saw what happened when the USSR presented itself as, you know, the other main superpower to America. Then America sort of very carefully dismantled that. It doesn't want to be in the same position. It still regards the idea of an alliance of states, big powers with different interests, that can hold America in check as being in its long-term advantage. So I think that's quite a subtle positioning for it to take. You know, it knows that, you know, if you look at every sort of, let's say, fact and figure, you know, Russia is no longer a superpower in the sense it doesn't have the military might of either China or America, and its economy is, apart from its oil sales, is a bit of a basket case. But it doesn't want to say, you know, it's just us and America now. That's too risky a position.
And it's going there as well to China, knowing that China is a really important client for Russian energy. Isn't that right? It's just an unusual position for Vladimir Putin to be in, where he's almost, you know, saying, well, thank you for buying our stuff, and I hope you continue to buy it and buy even more of it. So rather than going in as the strutting power, he's going in as a man who is beholden to a certain extent to the Chinese leader.
Yeah, I mean, he is a total supplicant, and privately, a lot of Chinese say this, and they're quite proud of the fact that, you know, Russia, which was the major power for so much of the 20th century, and indeed was the sort of daddy figure in the birth of the Chinese Communist Party, is now the power balance has switched in so much in China's favor. I mean, it's oil sales, that's an economic lifeline to Russia, but also it's the export of equipment for the Russian arms industry. China doesn't, or says it doesn't, don't, and there isn't much evidence to dispute this. China doesn't sell arms to Russia because of the war in Ukraine, but it is continuing to sell kit, including sort of electronics, vital electronics, to the Russian arms industry, which America and the West wants it to stop, but it's carried on doing that. And Putin is obviously very, you know, keen to make sure that trade continues as well.
And the Americans will be watching this meeting, of course, very closely, and the relationship as a whole.
America is when you say America, it's of course hard to know what we say about America anymore, because there are so many different factions now inside America. There's the traditional foreign policy establishment, and there's the Trumpian establishment. I mean, there's one report today in the Financial Times saying that Trump proposed to President Xi that China, Russia, and America all gang up against the International Criminal Court. You know, that's quite an unusual position. It's certainly not something the traditional American foreign policy establishment will regard as a good outcome of talks between China and Russia over the years. So America is also shifting, and I think we're all watching very closely the interrelations of all three men, Trump, Putin, and Xi, wondering to what extent détente between these three leaders is a good thing, and to what extent it works against the interests of other countries.
Let's see what happens. Richard Spencer there, China correspondent at The Times.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.